We're going to get right into the Word of God. We're going to be talking about the Lord's chosen fast today. We're going to be in Isaiah 58. You might not be saying amen after I share with you what the Lord gave to me about fasting. No, hopefully we will. We'll all be in one heart, one mind, and one accord. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we know that through fasting and prayer and prophecy and speaking your word and evangelizing, that it has literally changed the lives of millions of people, that it's changed nations. It's brought revivals. It's caused walls to be rebuilt, nations to be restored. There is such power when we truly humble ourselves to seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. Your promise is that you will hear from heaven and you will heal our land, and that you'll save, heal, and deliver the peoples of the nations that cry out to you. So, Lord, we love you. We praise you. As we study Isaiah 58 and learn about your chosen fast, the fast that you desire for us to do when we pray and evangelize, help us, Holy Spirit, understand exactly why it's so important and the main reason that you call a chosen fast and ask us to fast, Lord. Lord, my prayer is that we would just be aligned with the Father's heart, that our hearts would be aligned with your heart for the salvation of souls. Because we know that through the salvation of souls, when people truly accept Jesus and get born again, that's the greatest miracle, greatest gift in their life. And it's just the beginning of you, them starting an awesome relationship with you, and then being able to see the truth, and being able to see light, being able to come out of darkness. You did it for us, Lord, and we just pray that we'll be able to help others do the same as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, I think the Lord is calling us to 21 days of prayer and fasting and evangelism. Don't panic. I'm not asking you to go without food for 21 days. Just share with you, fasting is not one of my strong points. I'll be totally open and transparent and honest with you. I like to eat. I like my food. But I think it's a time in history, as you noticed, it's fasting, praying, and evangelism. The combination of those three things. It's time for revival. Revival in the church. Revival in America. Revival in Paoli. Revival in Philadelphia. Those are the main areas we'll focus on, but we'll be praying for Paoli, Philadelphia, and for America. So we're going to start our fast today. And we're going to go from September 22nd to October 12th. I'll give you more details about the fast later. Right now, let's just get into Isaiah 58 and learn about the fast that the Lord chooses, what he wants to do. What is his purpose when we're fasting and praying? And I think you'll see that it has a lot to do with the salvation of souls, with people being set free, coming to Jesus. Because really, that's the answer to all their problems, to all their issues in life. That's the starting point, new life for them. Amen? And here's why I'm excited about this. This is why I think this is really cool. I know we did one big project before. Remember when we did the street evangelism? Everybody picked a street and we all prayed for streets. So that was kind of a cool thing that we did as a church unit together in one heart, one mind, and one accord. But this, we'll all be praying at some part during the day. We'll all be praying, fasting, and doing the same thing in one heart, one mind, and one accord for 21 days straight. So I think that's just really awesome. And I think the Lord will honor that, and I think that we're going to see some great salvations, some great breakthroughs in our own lives, getting over any fears, any doubts that we have about witnessing and evangelizing, and that the Lord will just give us his heart for lost souls and the compassion that he has for people, for his people that are lost and suffering and hungry and dying. Don't you want that? I want more of that. So we know Jesus taught about prayer and fasting. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, he taught us about prayer and fasting. That's where he teaches them to pray. He says, don't pray like the heathen. Don't just pray repetitive things. But he teaches them the Lord's Prayer in that chapter. And then he goes into fasting. Teaches them about fasting. And he's we know the importance of that. And he said, basically he was saying, the reason that we pray and fast is that we do either one of those things and practice these spiritual disciplines is specifically not for the purpose of just acting like we're super spiritual people or putting on a show for everybody. Remember? This is what he said. He said, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites are people who wear masks. They're play actors. They put on shows. They try to make people think they're something that they're really not. So that's what Jesus was saying. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the Pharisees. That's not the reason that we do it. So he says, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. It's about getting into the secret place with the Father. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus also taught, remember, about fasting, that some demonic or some spiritual issues in our life can't be dealt with by prayer alone. Remember he said that? But you needed the combination of prayer and fasting. Remember he said, these only come out by prayer and fasting. So there is a significant power in combining prayer and fasting together to deal with things in your life, things in lives of people that are in your sphere of influence. And it has the power to break demonic activity. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
It does. So fasting is so powerful. I just wrote down a few things. And we can see in the Old Testament, we see revival and great accomplishments only happened and only came because why? Through prayer and fasting. It's so important that we learn to do that and do it together. I'll just give you a couple examples. The whole nation of Israel was saved when Esther called the Jews to fast and pray for 3 days. Remember that? The whole Jewish nation was saved. You could say the whole Jewish race. If it hadn't, probably had they not done that, the whole Jewish race would have possibly been wiped out at that time. That's how powerful it is, right? My favorite is Jonah. Look, a whole city repented and was saved because Jonah preached the word. And then what happened? The king of that city, I'll read it to you. This is what the king of the city, after Jonah came and preached repentance to them, this is what the king of the city told the people. In Jonah 3:8, the king said, but let man and beast be covered. Not just man, he said man and beast. I'd never really noticed that before. Man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God, fasting and prayer. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands, so God will have mercy on us. And he did. A whole city was saved. That's revival, right? Revival comes through prayer and fasting and preaching and evangelizing. That's what we're mainly focusing on for our 21 days. But another great one is Nehemiah. Nehemiah got the opportunity to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because he fasted and prayed. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. So he heard all the bad news of everything that was going on. How many of you know we hear enough bad news nowadays? He heard all the bad news that was going on in Jerusalem. And this is what he says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. So it was, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And we know what happened. He got grace and favor with the king, and the king sent him with everything, absolutely everything and anything that he needed to get the job done. That's what the Lord wants to do for us when we pray. Amen? He wants to equip us to get the job done that he's called us to do. So now it's our time to fast and pray for the salvation of souls in Paoli, Philly, and the United States of America. Paoli, the city of Philadelphia, and our nation are in need of an unprecedented spiritual awakening. The great need is evidenced across every area of society, in our communities, in our nation. I believe that prayer and fasting, along with evangelization, is central to releasing revival and awakening in America. We know history. We've read all the histories of the revivals. They testify that revival is always preceded by movements of prayer and fasting and repentance. Our vision is this: to win souls and raise up soul winners, to advance the gospel of Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit, starting right here in Word of Victory Church in Paoli. Proverbs 11:30 says this: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Did you know you have the fruit of life on you? Right? The tree of the life has the fruit of life. We have the life of the gospel on us. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. Amen? And we know that we're called to make these sacrifices because of what Jesus did for us. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the way you should worship him. That's a way to worship him, is another translation. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 2:5 also tells us, you also are like living stones. God is using you to build a spiritual house. You are to serve God in this house as holy priests, offering him spiritual sacrifices that he will accept because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Isaiah 58. Are you excited? I think this sounds like that we're going to have a great time doing this. I think the Lord is really going to honor this. Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 5. The Lord says, shout as loud as you can. Tell my people Israel about their sins. They worship me every day, claiming that they're eager to know my ways and obey my laws. They say they want me to give them just laws, and they take pleasure in worshiping me. The people ask, why should we fast if the Lord never notices? Why should we go without food if he pays no attention? The Lord says to them, the truth is that at the same time you fast, you pursue your own interests and oppress your workers. Your fasting makes you violent. How many of you know men get cranky when they don't have food? Right? Your fasting makes you violent, and you quarrel and fight. Do you think this kind of, and here's the Lord, he's speaking through his prophet, he says, do you think this kind of fasting will make me listen to your prayers? No. When you fast, you make yourselves suffer. You bow your heads like a blade of grass. You spread out your sackcloth and ashes to lie on. Is this what you call fasting? Do you think that I'm pleased with that? No. So simply, Isaiah and the Lord is saying through Isaiah just what Jesus was saying. True worship is more than just religious ritual. Going to church, fasting, listening to scripture readings, it's so much more than that. Our worship. These people miss the point of living. The reason that we live is to be in vital relationship with God, to be totally in tune with Him, with His will, to prove what is His good, acceptable, and perfect will, right? That's being in relationship with Him. What do you want me to do? How can I worship you? How can I love you more? What is it that you really called us to do? And He's going to tell us here in a minute. He doesn't want us to act pious when we have unforgiven sin in our heart and continue our sinful lifestyle. We know that. More important even than correct worship and doctrine, as we're going to learn, is genuine compassion for the oppressed, for the poor, and the helpless. That is the heart of God. And you can, everything we're talking about today, I want you to think of in the physical, but especially in the spiritual realm. When He talks about hunger, my people are, there's people that are hungry, they're starving, they're dying all around you. Yes, that's true in the physical. And we want to do something about that whenever the Lord gives us the opportunity. Amen? That's what He's saying. But I want you to think more in the spiritual, because we're linking this to evangelism. Okay? That's what we're talking about, the spiritual hunger that's out there. Let me tell you, they're hungry. When we go out witnessing, even if we only get to talk to one or two people and have really intimate conversations with them, those two guys I talked to, they didn't think they were, but they were starving, they were dying, they were hungry. That's why they were so willing to listen to me for 5 or 10 minutes, just constantly share with them, and they were interacting with me, asking questions. More important even than correct worship and doctrine, I said, is genuine compassion for the oppressed, the poor, the helpless, the lost. Listen to the reason Father God wants us to fast and pray. Here are the reasons that He wants us to fast and pray. This is why He chooses for us to fast and pray and evangelize. Verse 6 and 7. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? I love this. I love the King James. I'm going to read a more modern version, but I think the King James is the most powerful version. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is God speaking to us. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break, I love this version, every yoke. Not just some of them. But prayer, fasting, evangelism, the power of the Holy Spirit sharing the gospel can break every single yoke that is out there. Every bondage, anybody that needs to be set free from any yoke, any sin, there's no hope except for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, they can come up with everything that they can possibly imagine, and some of them we know just from listening to them would never work anyhow. For all of our issues, racism, violence, murder, all the issues that you see, all the darkness that's out there, man-made ideas is never going to stop it. It may curb it a little bit or help just a little bit, but the only true answer to darkness is what? The light of the gospel, and the power of God's people. Here's a modern version. The kind of fasting I want is this. Remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. Share your food with the hungry and open your homes to the homeless poor. How many of you know if the church started doing that in San Francisco and Los Angeles and all those places? Have you guys been watching the news? Have you seen those places? Hundreds of thousands of homeless people living in tents on the streets, destroying life, literally, in those cities. They're allowed to do drugs. They're allowed to use the restroom, both. anywhere they want in the streets, and they're doing it. It's horrible. They have no answer for it. But the Lord has an answer for it. It's the church, right? That's what he says, right? He says, open your homes to the homeless poor. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear, and do not refuse to help your own relatives. He's talking about this, the physical and spiritual food. And here's the results. We know that people are hungry, spiritually hungry, as I said. We have to feed them. And we have to open our hearts. We have to open our doors, even to bring them in and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they're truly hungry in the physical, we need to feed them also. This is what he promised, the results. Listen to verse 8. If we'll do this, if we'll fast, pray, evangelize, go out and minister to people, the lost, the poor, the homeless, the hungry especially. Jesus talked about it in the New Testament too, how important it is that we minister to those people. Listen to the results of what God promises. Then my favor will shine on you like the morning sun, and your wounds will be quickly healed. I will always be with you to save you. My presence will protect you on every side. Verses 9 through 12. And when you pray, I will answer you. When you call to me, I will respond, here I am. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. If you put an end to oppression, to every gesture of contempt, and to every evil word, if you give food to the hungry, the spiritually hungry, and satisfy those who are in need, then the darkness around you will turn into the brightness of noon. Did you hear that? The darkness around you will turn into the brightness of noon. That's pretty powerful. That's the only answer for the darkness in America. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prayer, fasting, and evangelizing. We'll push back the darkness. And I will always guide you and satisfy you with good things. I don't know about you, but these are some pretty good promises. If we're ministering, if we have the heart of the Father, if we're doing exactly what He's called us to do, these promises are for us. Amen? I will keep you strong and well. How many of you need that? That's a pretty good one, huh? You will be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring of water that never goes dry. And here, listen to this. Your people will rebuild what has long been in ruins, building again on the old foundations. You will be known as the people who rebuilt the walls, who restored the ruined houses. Pretty powerful, isn't it? That comes through genuine praying and fasting, seeking the Lord's heart, and then obeying Him and doing it. Amen? You have to put feet to your prayers and your fasting. There comes a time where it says, okay, I heard you crying. Now I'm going to give you what you want. Go and do it. Amen? As His children, we are assured that whenever we call on Him, He'll answer, here I am. All we have to do is call when we're in His will like that. And He says, here I am. If we'll work with Him to eliminate oppression, stop pointing the finger in accusation or in scoffing, and cease from mudslinging and slander, if we'll work with Him to alleviate human need, both spiritual and physical, then God promises our night will turn to day, we'll enjoy His guidance always, we'll have an abundant supply of every good thing, we'll have health and strength, beauty and fruitfulness, and national restoration. That's a pretty powerful promise in these scriptures, isn't it? How many of you believe it's true? How many of you know it only happens through fasting and prayer? And evangelism is the food. The food we need to feed them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are also many physical needs that we could probably step up our game in meeting outside there in the world. I'm sure many of you and many of us still already give to ministries that are feeding the poor. And many of us do a lot of that. And I encourage you, continue to do that and even maybe step it up a little more if the Holy Spirit leads you to while you're praying and fasting for these 21 days. Because that's the Lord's heart. That's His heart. He does not like to see people starving, being hungry, dying, being lost, being in darkness. That's why He saved us, because He loved us and He had mercy upon us. And He cried out to us, and he saved us. Your sons and daughters, this is the end of verse 12 in the Living Bible, says this. Your sons will rebuild the long deserted ruins of your cities. How many of you know our cities need that? Did you hear that? That's the hope for Baltimore, for Detroit, for Chicago, for LA, for San Francisco. The devil's trying to take those places over. They're literally being ruined. They're becoming ruined cities. We can be part of rebuilding them. How about that? We will rebuild the long deserted ruins of cities, and we will be known as the people who rebuild their walls and cities. I don't know about you, but I think that sounds awesome, exciting. That's the Christian life. Amen? That's what the Lord wants us to get in tune and line up with Him and get involved in. And that's what we're going to be praying about and trying to do. So I've taken time to draw up 21 days of prayer, a prayer guide here. And these are just simply things for you to go off of, to start with. Let me just share this with you. We're going to be working, praying, fasting, doing evangelism. I'm going to let you know when there's opportunities to go out with us. If you want to get involved, if you've never done that, you can go out with us. We will be doing something with Michael Considine on a Sunday. I'll let you know when that is, a Sunday after church. We go out every Thursday during the afternoon. But if you want to go out at some other time, just text me, let me know. And if I can put it in my schedule, I'm willing to make that sacrifice and do it, because I want everybody to get excited and hungry for evangelism and for witnessing and being soul winners. Let me just read what I share. We're going to be doing this from September 22nd to October 12th. And I'll read this. You'll have it on here. While we're doing it, I suggest that you do a prayer walk and evangelize in your own neighborhoods during the 21 days, asking God to change the spiritual climate of your community. And here, I told you I'd give you some more details on fasting. You can choose to fast one meal a day. You can fast from your tech devices for an hour a day. Put that phone down or put that tablet down and dedicate an hour to praying for souls and revival and going out to pass out a tract. I want you to try to get in the habit over the 21 days of not only just praying and fasting, but at least hand out a tract to somebody. During the time that you set aside to pray and fast, try to have that time to pass out a tract. You don't have to do them all at once, but make it an opportunity. You don't have to, the Lord uses you and you like to talk and talk to people about their eternal salvation and share the gospel with them, do that. But at least get in the habit of sowing the seed every day, passing out tracts to at least one person today. I think we can do that, can't we? But I know many of you do it when you go out to eat. You leave tracks. However you want to do it, that's fine. So, but choose to do a meal, one meal a day. You can fast from using your devices, fast television, your couple of hours, your favorite shows, and instead of watching them, pray. Pray for souls, pray for the lost, pray for evangelism, pray for revival, pray for a great awakening. Pray for Paoli, Philadelphia, and the entire nation. Okay? I'm just trying to share this with you so that we're all, because we'll all be doing the same thing, probably not all at the same time during the day, but different times throughout the day, all of us here will be praying in one heart, one mind, and one accord, and I believe there'll be a great power in doing that together. Share that with you. If you can do all day fast, that's fine. If you can fast for a week and the Lord's giving you, that's fine too. Whatever you can do, but just make it a point for the next 21 days to fast something, set that time aside, use it for the Lord, use it for prayer and evangelism and praying. Pray, the prayer especially is for lost souls and revival and a great awakening in Paoli, Philadelphia, and our nation. And that's it. The Lord said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So I believe here at Word of Victory Church, we're those laborers. We've been prayed for over and over and over again for years, and that we're ready to go out into the harvest and collect it for the Lord. We get a chance to participate in collecting the harvest for the Lord. Amen? You ready to do that? Mark 16 says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.'" And we know at the end of that chapter it says, "They went out and preached the gospel. The Lord confirmed his word with signs and wonders following." Amen? Basically, all he's saying there is you don't have to fear anything. When you're out sharing the gospel and witnessing, you don't have to fear anything. Even if a snake decides to latch onto your hand, a poisonous snake, shake it off into the fire like Paul did. Go on about the Lord's business. All those things that Jesus said, if you read through the book of Acts, you can see they literally happened. I don't think anybody drank poison. I don't remember that. But he did say you could pick up a serpent and it won't harm you. Remember Paul got bit by the snake? Yeah, they may not have known it and lived. Absolutely. Good point. Did they? Interesting. Yep, I'm sure that it all was fulfilled exactly what Jesus said. So I have a 21-day prayer guide here. So Marilyn, can you hand these out? I think there's enough here for everybody. Let me make sure I don't give you these two. So that way we'll all at least be on the same page, praying something similar that day. Like I said, there's only a few points under each one of these 21 points to pray for. Obviously, the Holy Spirit will give you more to pray for and pray about during that time. But let's have a great time. Let's really just have fun and do this for the Lord. Amen? And then we'll just wait and watch and see what happens. Remember, we don't have to get all religious about it and weird about it. Exactly. We're just going to have a good time and do what the Lord tells us to do, and we're going to do his chosen fast. Remember, we're doing it to do what? To break the bonds of wickedness. Loose the bands of wickedness. It's right on the front of your bulletin. A Lord's fast and praying and evangelizing, we will loose the bands of wickedness. We will undo heavy burdens. We will see the oppressed go free. And we will break every yoke that is out there. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just commit it to the Lord right now. Father, we commit these 21 days to you. And Lord, we declare that we are in one heart, one mind, and one accord. We're in unity. We know that when there's unity, that the blessing of life flows, Lord. We declare that we are the righteous, we are a tree of life, and that he who wins souls is wise. We're declaring souls for your kingdom. We're declaring a great harvest during this 21-day fast, Father. And we're expecting you not only to change other people, but to change us, Lord. If there's anything inside of us that needs to be changed, change it and do it, Lord, as we draw closer to you. We want to definitely present our bodies as living sacrifices to you. We want to know what, because it's our reasonable act of worship and service to you, and we want to walk and know what is your good, acceptable, and perfect will for us and for all those in our sphere of influence. Save them, Lord. We want to feed them, Lord. Give us opportunities. Give us divine appointments, Lord. Bring us to those who are spiritually hungry so that we can feed them the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.